section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Heath Slater's in the news, matches are announced for TLC, and podcasting news galore. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is there. Let's get right into the news. So Heath Miller, not the guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but Heath Slater, has an arrest warrant issued from an incident that happened back in 2011. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so Heath Slater, he really wanted to get over. He heard some of the things that Vince said, and he said, you know, I'm going to grab for that brass ring and, you know, travel back to 2011 and, you know, have a warrant issued for my arrest.
Yeah, it's actually pretty messed up. The weird part is that there's been some different stories, but it's always the same. He was with his girlfriend, and then other people said, well, they got engaged that night. So this incident, I've seen some people say she probably got this guy wrong. There's someone else that looks like Wendy's, or the Wendy girl from Wendy's. But most likely they think that she was trying to make some money and there's no merit to this. And I feel bad for Heath Slater because he's done everything they've asked him to do and then some. And then this gets thrown out there. I think it's really sad. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's not a whole lot else we can really say about it. And we'll probably hear a little bit more in the coming weeks. But luckily, WWE is not jumping the gun and just firing him for God knows what reason, like they did with you know, what was her face, Emma, earlier this year. You know, they jumped yeah. down, they're like, you're fired. Oh wait, no, you're rehired, sorry. Looks like we should have probably waited for due process. So
that is true. And they've known about this since 2011 when this was first brought up to them. It's just kind of sad that they're actually taking it to this level. It does not need to be this way, but I guess everyone's trying to make a quick buck, and this lady's going to find out real fast that defamation of character can hurt someone real bad. So anyway, so let's talk some WWE program for this week. So Seth Rollins and John Cena, it's going to happen at TLC, but what's the steps on this?
Yeah, so if Cena loses, he's no longer the number one contender, which I actually don't like this stipulation. I think it should just be whoever wins is the number one contender. And that would actually be a bigger deal because if Seth Rollins wins, he doesn't get anything. So what's the point in what is he fighting for? He's fighting for the ability to potentially be the number one contender? No, that's kind of dumb. So I'm actually a little bearish on this. I really think that they should do a better job of trying to promote this and try to make it a bigger deal. And as opposed to make it, these are two contenders going for the same prize, it's more, oh, let's see. You know, Cena could not be the number one contender, so we're going to have to jump on his bandwagon and try. He's going to have to overcome all the odds to stay the number one contender.
I think they're going to add something else. I think they're also going to tell Rollins that he has to put the Money in the Bank briefcase on the line as well. This way, it's a bigger deal. But the other thing is, I bet this. We already know what's going to happen here. It's going to end in a DQ because that's just how they are, which is pretty sad because here's the other thing. Aren't the Slammies next week?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so you have the Slammies, and then 6 days later, you have your pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. We missing something? Why have the Slammies right then? Why not have it in a few weeks after that, you know, when everyone's going on Christmas vacation? I think it's the 22nd.
I think that's why, though. I think that the Slammies are probably, they're thinking it's a bit of an attraction. I know last year, so I was actually at the Slammies last year, and I was a little, they're having the Slammies. I don't know if this is even going to be a good show. And surprisingly, it was. And the thing that really made the show was actually at the end, where Triple H was getting so mad at the Seattle crowd because they were chanting for Daniel Bryan. And they were just going nuts. And we actually got him to stop doing his little promo just so that way Daniel Bryan could get his name heard. And, you know, the vignettes, they showed him laughing and smiling, Mark Henry raising his hand. And that was all because we cheered for Daniel Bryan. It was really great. But the Slammies, for that, it was perfect because we didn't have the pay-per-view, I think, was 2 weeks away. I want to say. So it was smart. You had a build up. You were able to have, you know, this special showcase and everything. This time around, though, I mean, we're going to have the Slammies, which is going to be the attraction. And we're going to have a mild build up for these matches. So honestly, I don't think TLC is going to be a good pay-per-view. Actually, it doesn't even have a main event.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think you might be forgetting about this, but I'm not. You have Slammies on Monday. Then you have Tuesday, you have main event. And then on Thursday, you have TakeOver.
Oh, yeah, that's right, TakeOver.
Right.
You're right.
And then you have TLC on Sunday. So it's a big wrestling week.
Yeah, but why even have TakeOver then? Why isn't TakeOver this week? Why are you going to have a two pay-per-views within 3 days of each other? Doesn't make any sense.
And I agree. And that's why I think they might have missed the boat on this, or they should have had TLC the following week. That's what it really should have been. TLC should be the 20th or the
21st.
Thank you. The 21st. That's when it should be. But, you know, then they have to double tape, you know, on the 22nd. So people can have time off. But I know that's a scheduling thing. But the fact that they're going to have, you know, on 12/11, NXT is going to have their pay-per-view. Then NXT the following day tapes. So that means you tape a pay-per-view. Then you tape they're going to tape 5 weeks worth of wrestling. So you have all this production staff is going to be burned out by SmackDown. By the time they start taping SmackDown, the crew is going to be like, oh, I just want to go home. And then basically, no matter how I look at it, their vacation's ruined. It's how I look at it, unfortunately. But yeah, so that, I think that this is one of those weird things. But it's a great, you know, speaking of TakeOver, we get to finally see Kevin Owens, which I'm excited about. So,
yeah, that will be really cool. But Andy, back to Raw and SmackDown and right. Everything. So Ambrose and Wyatt, we know that they're having a TLC match at TLC. I actually don't like the idea of them doing a TLC match. I know we had talked about it last week. What do they suspend? I mean, honestly, the whole point of a TLC match is that you use the ladder to climb something. So realistically, the ladder is only there as a weapon, you know, when you think about it. And I actually don't care for those because it's like the only way you can win is by pin. Why even bother having the ladder there? Yada, yada, yada. But the biggest thing I think that happened was that Ambrose on SmackDown got stretchered out. So Ambrose got injured. You know, it looks like they're doing this to try to make him, you know, seem like vulnerable so that way they can help build him up again. Do you think this was the right route to go?
I don't know. I mean, like you said, I don't like the fact that they're not hanging anything except maybe the rocking chair. You know, if you take down the rocking chair, you get to use the rocking chair on someone. That's
really?
That's the only thing
really?
I can think of.
Really?
But realistically, this is, yeah, it should just be a hardcore match. Just call it a hardcore match. That's mm-hmm. all you have to do. If you call it a TLC match, then there should be a prize. And like you said, there's not. That's my beef with this. The fact that they stretched him out on SmackDown, okay, I see you got to make it so he could lose, the potential of him losing. But then that's where I'm conflicted on this one because, okay, I see the point because he does beat Bray, which I'm hoping he does, I see the point of it because, you know, Dean Ambrose is unstoppable, but Bray Wyatt was able to stop him. You know, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what the promos are going to be because the promos are going to be the big key on this one. Is that what Bray Wyatt did? He stopped the unstoppable. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I know it sounds so corny, but that's the best I got.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little, but I actually think that these two put on an okay match. I don't think it was anything fantastic. However, though, both these guys are mid-card, upper mid-card, so they're in an actual feud storyline, which is smart. That's something that I am very happy about. Hopefully, they'll continue this with other mid-card people because that's how you help get people over. That's how you make stars. And actually, speaking of which, they're having Ryback and Kane go at it. Of course, they have had a little bit of a feud. So we're going to see Ryback take on Kane in a chairs match. What do you think?
Well, hopefully that staph infection is taken care of beforehand. Poor old Kane. Here's the thing. All right. I got to give Kane credit. He just seems like he's very easygoing and they tell him to do something. He just does it. Because as you've seen Concessions Kane, Salesman Kane. I don't even know what else they've done with him, but he's done everything they've asked. And now they're saying, we need you to put over Ryback. Okay, so he's had to put over Ryback. That's a big deal in itself. But this could be an interesting match. I'm just wondering how they're going to do. I don't like chairs matches. I guess that's what it boils down to. I don't care for those matches. But you got to have
you just have a chair.
Yeah, you know, why don't they have that like on a pole or something like that? Like you grab the chair, then you get the one chair for the entire match.
Yeah.
And I get it.
But that's a possibility.
That, I guess that's my whole thought on it. You know, I should probably say another thing about Ryback. Ryback actually has put on some decent matches lately. Mm-hmm. And that's surprising because if you remember when he came in, he was just a monster. He was, you know, the big guy or whatever, a monster. But now you can see that it takes him time to wrestle. The best thing for Ryback that happened to him was when he was off.
I
don't know what he did. In fact, I actually want to send him, like, tweet him something to be like, your matches have improved 100 times over. What have you done to do this? You know, hopefully he'll respond back to me because every time I tweet someone, they never do. That's the one thing I actually want to know because I'm curious. Was he studying stuff? Was he actually figuring out, to build this up, this is how we're going to do it? Because it seems like the moves, they're coming off a lot slower, but there's also build up to when he actually picks them up for either the meat cleaver or, the shell shock. Mm-hmm. There's actually build up to it, and there never was before. It was just him destroying two local guys over and over and over. So,
well, it's the same thing, just like with Ambrose and Wyatt. They're putting him in a feud, albeit with Kane, who has not won a match in the past 6 years, just like Ric Flair, who has not won a match since 1998. All he does is put guys over, pretty much. So, you know, I expect Ryback here to get an easy win. The other one, too, is we have Eric Rowan and Big Show. They actually had a match on Raw this past week, and it looked like they were just going to have the feud off of the pay-per-view. But instead, they're going to have the feud actually be on the pay-per-view, and it's a steel steps match. The steel steps.
Okay. Well, Big Red, as they're pushing him now, this should be interesting because, you know, I've seen Rowan wrestle, and he is good. But it's one of those things where Luke Harper's better, no matter how I look at it. But my other thing is, okay, so Wyatt let these guys, two guys go. One is a face, one is a heel. Shouldn't they both be heels technically? That's, I guess, the thing. Like, you can't have one become face and then have him be nice all of a sudden. And they're pushing the fact that he's a genius. Like the Rubik's Cube, I thought was funny. Like he had it, he was messing with it. And then
You know what's really funny about that?
Yeah.
He was messing with the Rubik's Cube the week before on TV, and he didn't solve it. So it took him a week to solve the Rubik's Cube. I don't know if you realize that.
I did not realize that. So it took him a week. He finally got it. He was like, oh, I just have to move this, and this.
I don't think he's so much a genius as he is an idiot.
Gosh. But yeah, so I don't know. Steel steps match. Come on. This is going to be weird. Oh, well. So anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top. Say big on items from WWEShop.com. So, TNA news?
Nothing. Oh, did they air this week?
Oh, they did a best of. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I guess there wasn't a point. I did watch Lucha Underground, which is intriguing still. But anyways, let's just talk. Everyone's talking about it. We got to bring it up now. CM Punk was on Colt Cabana's The Art of Wrestling podcast. It's been 224 episodes since CM Punk was last on.
Except this one was big. And it wasn't big yet. It got big when it was on TMZ.com.
Well, it was released, you know, he releases late Wednesday night, you know, Thursday morning. And I remember, you know, my podcast app started downloading it. And I was like, CM Punk. And then I checked the message boards. And, of course, they're all going ape crap for it. They're saying, oh, CM Punk is on here. This is amazing. And then my download crapped out. So we couldn't talk about it. And then, of course, you know, there was a lot of places that were saying, oh, we have it here. And then they were, you know, crashing. So it was really funny. I didn't get to listen to it till I want to say Friday morning or so because, you know, of course, Thanksgiving. And then, you know, very few places were had it at first, but then it got out. And I mean, CM Punk basically did a shoot. He said, this isn't a shoot interview, guys. You know, I'm telling a story. That's it. And it was a little bit of a shoot, I felt like. What were your initial impressions about it?
Okay. When I first heard about it, I think you sent me a message. It was on Thanksgiving. It was sometime on Thanksgiving. And, you know, of course, I'm not checking wrestling stuff during that time because I'm going to be with the family and stuff, eat some turkey. Well, this is one of those times that I missed it because I did not have my podcatcher, iTunes, because I'm still old. I did not have that going on yet. That was a mistake because I should have listened to it on Wednesday night because it was on TMZ. Like I said, TMZ.com the following morning. I'm more surprised that he did it this way, but I'm also not because the best way to put something out like this is to if you ruin my wedding day, I'm going to ruin your Thanksgiving. And that time that if you do something special with your family, I'm going to ruin it for you now. And he did. Because it ticked a lot of people off in WWE. I guess the whole thing, something happened. And I don't know what, but something happened for him to say, Colt, we're going to do this. Because I think this was spur of the moment. I think he just went to him on, we'll say Monday, and said, I'm going to be on your show this week. I want to talk about it. And he's like, oh, okay. Because there's no press about it. There's nothing talked about it. There was nothing leaked to TMZ, and that's the weird part. Nothing was leaked to them. They just got the information. They're like, oh, my gosh. One of the guys there is a big wrestling fan, Ryan Satin. He probably saw it and was like, this is going on the site immediately. And it was. I tried to download Colt's show, and if you went to Art of Wrestling website, you couldn't get to it because it was down. You had to go to YouTube to listen to it, and SoundCloud for some other people as well. I found it a different way, but this was a big deal, real big deal. So it ruined some people's Thanksgiving. So he thanked them back for firing him.
Well, first of all, let's talk about some of the big things. First of all, how much of it do you believe that Punk said was true?
I believe a portion of it is.
So would you say like 60% you think is?
I would say at least 60% of it was true. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Okay. I think 80% of the statements that he said were there was some truth to it. But I think he changed the story on a lot of them to make him look better. I would say at least 60% of those 80% of the stories.
It's funny. I totally understand what you're saying.
Okay. If there's 10 stories,
80% of the stories were true. And of that 80%, 80% of what he said was true.
No, 60%. Well,
or 60%.
60% of it was he elaborated on it more. As in that he made it into something bigger than what it was.
The
staph infection. He said like, oh, it's a fatty tissue. Now, the thing is, wrestlers get this a lot from miscellaneous reasons. He probably looked at it. And I think that he was pushing the doc, but I don't think he actually started pushing him until maybe later on. But he made it sound like, hey, I noticed this, and then went right to him and said, hey, can we cut this out? And then he just decided not to. There's something there that he's not telling the truth on. I believe that. The whole thing with the concussion thing, them saying we want you to run the ropes. And, he, it, you know, and I like, he said something along the lines of like, I'm not a second week, you know, indie
wrestler. I'm not a newbie. This is my second
I can
week
do it.
Business.
But actually, under, you know, hearing how concussion tests have done, actually researching to see what, when, like indie people, what they do, they make them run, but they will actually make them run and do like change direction multiple times. So they might go left or right, then go front to back, you know, left or right, up and down. They may do stuff like that. So northwest, east, south, or I'm sorry, east, west, north, south is what I meant. So they may have him do it just a couple times, and which, it, you know, it'll probably take him 20 seconds to go through it, and then he's done. But he's like, I don't want to do it in front of people.
Well, and I actually understand what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm not a newbie. I'm not going to do that. I totally get it. And then he called their concussion test BS. And I actually disagree with him on that. Now, I agree with him that WWE, the reason they have the whole concussion thing, why they brought, you know, brought it about was because NFL didn't do it. And now they're getting, you know, screwed over because of it. I totally understand that. WWE is doing it not because not for the boys. They're doing it for themselves. 100% agree. However, what he said about the test, I disagree. The test isn't BS. The test is there as a layer. You know, like how you have the first layer, the second layer, the third layer. You know what? A seatbelt is probably going to save you most of the time. The seatbelt is what's going to save you. An airbag is going to do extra protection. The side airbag is going to do extra protection. It's an extra layer that's on there. So their concussion test, that's the first layer. And then running the ropes, that's the second layer. They're doing it because they want to find out whether or not he has a concussion for real. And he passed the first test. They're like, look, you know, you passed this. We don't think you have it. Can you run the ropes so that way we know for a fact that you don't, though?
That's the other thing. He said something that this is why I don't believe he – this is a part of the story that I don't believe him on. He said that he was texting while it was going on. How can he text when they're doing the test on it? He has to be looking at a light. He's looking in his eye. How can Punk text without looking – to Colt? So, you know, that's what I'm getting at. How could he do that? That's the part of the story that I don't believe. Because that when it first was said, he said that, I was like, well, that's impossible. How can, because, you know, I see what the NFL does. And you can see on the lines, they put the light out and they ask some questions and they're doing it.
I think what he meant was that they were doing the test and then they were going to do another test and he was texting in between. I think is what he meant.
Yes.
But nonetheless, I agree with you. I actually, you said you 80%, 60%. I'm probably closer to like 80, I would say, for me.
Okay.
Because I think that there's some, there's definitely an elaboration in there for that to make himself sound better. Like when he left and he's told Vince, he's like, no, Hunter, I want you to stay here because you need to listen to this and you slow my momentum down. I totally believe he said the vast majority of that stuff. But the way that he made it sound like, oh, I'm the greatest thing ever. And, you know, Vince just, he cowered to me. He was such a, he cowered to me. And he knows I'm the greatest of all time. And it's like, you know, no, here's the big thing. And this is something that Stone Cold found out. You listen to his podcast at all. He tells the story multiple times. You will always hear it. And that was, he was going to do the favors for Brock Lesnar. And so he said, no, I'm not. I will not show up on Raw. Because you're doing zero buildup. And I actually agree with him because I think that, yeah, you know, zero buildup, you're the biggest star in the company and you're going to do favors for somebody who's up and coming and could be the next big thing. But that would be just like John Cena, you know, doing it for Ryback, 6 months ago. It's like, well, you know, I wouldn't do that yet. Anyway, what I'm saying though is that Stone Cold left. Stone Cold left WWE on bad terms. WWE survived. WWE went on without a hitch. There were no issues. Yeah, Stone Cold wasn't there, and so maybe they could have got some more people to come in. But nonetheless, Stone Cold wasn't there, and WWE survived. That's the biggest thing. CM Punk is not bigger than Stone Cold. And I love CM Punk. I think that he is a tremendous talent, but WWE is going to survive.
That's the, you know, and, you know, one man can't change it all. I mean, he could, but not a corporation like that. You know, the other thing also, like the whole thing with a lot, I compare a lot of CM Punk to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think they're very similar in certain ways. And the one thing that Austin did state at one point, he said there was a go-to person in between. And he said with Punk, there wasn't. There was Punk and Vince and Trips, basically. That's it. There wasn't like a Jim Ross. Jim Ross, the only reason Stone Cold came back, he has said multiple times, is because of Jim Ross. It's the only reason he came back. In a way, you almost need something like that for CM Punk, where someone who's like looking out for both people, you know, who's, is friends with Punk, but is looking out for the best interests of both parties because, hey, you know, Ross, I think, said, I think Stone Cold has said this, that Ross told him that you're going to lose out on a lot of money. And Stone Cold did lose out on a bunch of money. He even said that.
Oh, yeah.
That to this day. And then he's right. He lost out on a buttload of money. I guess with CM Punk, you know, like because we haven't heard the second half yet because, well, what happened again? Go to Cult site and guess what? It's already down.
Yep.
No YouTube. No
find it somewhere else.
So eventually when we get it, hopefully over the weekend, whenever site gets back put back up, we'll get to listen to it. Well, but I guess I have more respect for Punk now. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, just to bring up a couple of other things real quick. The wedding day fiasco. So he got his termination papers on his wedding day. Vince said that was not deliberate by any means. You know, we had those in place. What do you think? Do you think
here's my thing. Okay. Vince said something that I thought was really interesting. He said that he's basically at the top. And then he has other people that are like they need to get together, basically. And that isn't something that Vince – he should have someone overseeing it, not Triple H. Paul should be doing his own – doing what he's supposed to do, but he was not. The fact that the termination paperwork got sent to him, I think that – okay, I'm trying to think – there's more. Okay, I guess I should point out.
Was it deliberate? Yes or no?
I believe not on Vince's part, but I believe on Triple H's part. I think Triple H did that on purpose because he had an idea on when the wedding was going to be. So what better? And I'm not saying that. Oh, he definitely got him on his wedding day. Maybe it was the day before or even the day after. But either way, I would be ticked off too if I got it even like the week of, because there was an issue with his payment. And of course, you know, the entire interview is too, but I thought that was really interesting. He was talking about, hey, I wasn't paid with this, blah, blah, blah. And I was on a lawyer's desk. But that's side part. Getting back to the termination paperwork, I believe Triple H knew when it was going to happen. And I bet that he had someone research it out. Say, hey, talk to a friend of AJ's, talk to a friend of Colt Cabana's or Scotty Goodman. Find, you know, narrow it down. When is Colt Cabana, because I'm pretty sure he was there. When is he not working the indies? Is he not working on the Saturday? Why is he not working on the Saturday? Usually he works, you know, somewhere in Berwyn, Illinois. Why is he not working on this Friday? Oh, that's because it's probably the date of Punk's wedding. Let's wait until Thursday to send this next day out to Punk. That's what I think really happened. I think Triple H is behind it because he did say Triple H has never liked him. And that's the thing that has always been truthful. Triple H just doesn't like him. He just does not like the guy. But I also believe the real reason why he doesn't like him is because CM Punk's better than him. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
I think it's different than that. I think that he's so different than Triple H. That's why he doesn't like him. I actually do agree with you for the most part on what you said because, you know, look, they didn't like each other. They worked professionally because that's, you know, what you have to do. You have to work professionally together. But I think that probably what happened was when he found out that Punk it was going to be his wedding day, it was in June and he technically had a contract till July. So why would they do it in June and not July? So originally I was kind of thinking, you know what, maybe it was just coincidence. I don't think it was coincidence. I actually think it was very deliberate because they could have picked any day out of the year. And why do it in June? Doesn't make any sense to me.
And see, that's why I believe that it is Triple H, because behind the scenes, I bet he is a jerk. And if he doesn't like certain people, if you're not part of the clique, then that's just how things are going to be. So I truthfully believe that this was done 100% on purpose and it was to hurt Punk. Now, if the one thing they didn't bring up, and I'm surprised they didn't, is remember when they did the whole thing and they had Ultimate Warrior come through like the hallway of WWE and there was a post-it over CM Punk's face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I believe Vince did that, but I think it was more of as playful humor, because if Triple H did it, it would probably be a big black X, you know. But I think I think he did it just as a joke, and someone saw it. They're like, wow, HD does come through really well. But yeah, so I guess the way I'd look at it, you know, Punk made a couple good points. You know, I bought some Microsoft products. I did not buy Bill Gates' house, even though he did give us Vista and Windows ME. and CM Punk probably had a couple of bad matches here and there. But I guess the way I really look at it as a fan is that, okay, he gave it to us. And then you hear about these good things. You know, you don't hear about the good things. You always hear about the negatives. So, like, if you see, he talks about how he took, you know, like 4 or 5 pictures with people at Hawks games. And there was that one jerk who said he didn't like him or said, hey, I bought your house. You know, I paid for you to get your house. And I would be like, well, technically, you also paid to get Joey Mercury's house. But you know what? You don't see Punk bragging about or saying, hey, I bought his house and did this and made turn his life around. You're not talking about that. But if for some reason I'm with my wife on my one day off or her one day off and we're at a Hawk game, you know, picture get out. You know, I understand that, you know, but so I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think differently about the situation.
I bet he is a pretty much a jerk in real life. That doesn't surprise me. But at the same time, if you're cool to somebody, you know, and say, hey, dude, big fan, I'd love a picture with you. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, hey, that's fine. Honestly, like no joke, I went to a comedy show and there was a guy there who I was like, who I've seen him on comedy shows before. And I was like, hey, do you mind if I get a picture with you? And he looked at me and goes, no. Like, I was like, what? And he was like, no. It was like, wow, like you are a like C to D list celebrity, I guess you would say. You know, and I was like, that was amazing. Like my wife was next to me. Yeah. You know, and we were like, we kind of looked at each other like, wow, okay, let's go. And it's funny because whenever I've seen him before, like afterwards now, I'm like, that image is now with me. It's that guy. Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit of a jerk in real life.
The one that you got a picture of that I still think is the best one, like still to this day, is when you got Paul Scheer from the league.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, hey, that guy, you told me, what was it? He just pointed him out and he's like, hey, can I get a picture? He's like, oh, yeah. And no one knew who he was or something like that. And I know that guy.
I was on the streets of Seattle walking to the convention center for Emerald City Comic Con. I was actually going to stop by and, you know, just to see him because I thought it'd be kind of cool. And I was like, oh, hey, Paul. And he's like, hey, what's up, man? And I go, hey, dude, I love the league. I am a Nielsen box guy, you know, so I make sure I watch him multiple times so you guys get the hits. Do you mind if I get a picture with you? He's like, oh, yeah, dude, absolutely. And so he took 2 pictures with me and I was like, wow. And there was like the thing is, there was a sea of people around us that was walking by. You know, it wasn't like just us two on the street. It was a sea of people coming by and like no one stopped. They just and then he just kept walking. It was just him and I got a picture a block or so away from the convention center and then he walked in. So it's kind of funny.
And I just like that story because it's like you're like, hey, you know, you're really nice. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll take a picture of you. Even though in season 6, they decided to blow up my house, my beachfront house, you know, but from the league anyways. But yeah, so I thought it was cool. Also, more podcasting stuff. Stone Cold Steve Austin, of course, did his first vidcast. And it was on the WWE Network of all things.
What did you think? So this aired live and on the West Coast. On the West Coast, I don't get Raw until 8 o'clock at night, and that's when the podcast came on. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna just watch the podcast and I'll watch Raw later. Did you watch it live or was it taped?
I didn't watch it till the following morning. I'm sorry, okay. I listened to it the following morning at work. So I. It's another one of those. I fell asleep. I was going to listen to it. I fell asleep.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. So obviously you didn't see it live then. I did. I was very impressed. I was very shocked also at a few things. Stone Cold referred to it as wrestling. And Vince was like, it's not wrestling. It's sports entertainment. Wrestling's what my dad did. First of all, let me ask that. What did you think of it?
The podcasting, the show overall.
Well, no, what did you think of Vince's reaction to it's not wrestling, it's sports entertainment? Now, you know, I mean, obviously.
I didn't like that.
He coined, you know, so he's obviously going to say it. What did you think, though?
I did not like. I, I did not like the fact that that's how Vince took it, but as a corporate guy, you kind of have to say it's sports entertainment because that's just how it is. Okay, well, call it sports entertainment. But I think Stone Cold got really mad at him about that. But I think it's also Steve Austin is that's how he is in real life. He thinks of it as wrestling, not sports entertainment. Okay, move on. You know, I guess that to me, I just moved on from it. I was like, is he going to ask? And also the other thing also, he brought up TNA three times.
Yeah.
But he said it real fast. You know, there's other ones like TNA. Like he said it really fast. He probably said TNA a total of like 1.5 seconds. So I thought that was pretty funny. At least.
Yeah. I, you know, that's something that I.
On the WWE Network, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I that's what I thought was interesting. And the fact that he brought up CM Punk right away. And of course, me. Conspiracy.
You want to talk about CM Punk? Yeah. And yeah,
sure.
And I did.
And then he right off the bat, like we were talking about earlier, he right off the bat he said he was sincerely apologized about that he got those papers on his wedding day. He's you know, and you could tell. I think Vince was actually sincere about that part, and I believe that 100%. And then he gave his explanation, but then he apologized the second time. Okay, so. Move on. But then he kept talking about it. Like there's stuff brought up about Punk. And I think that it was a curveball or a softball that was thrown up to him because Stone Cold was told to do that. Once you got past the Punk stuff, you know, because we talked about it earlier, he said some interesting stuff that like history wise that was getting good. And then they said, oh, they're telling me that to cut it off. That like because they wanted to continue the show, and then finally they told him that you're done, and then Vince is like, we just got started, like you know, almost an hour into it, and I after you got past the Punk stuff, I thought it was actually flowing pretty good because it's almost like he had to address it. I don't think he wanted to address the Punk stuff. I would have rather heard stuff about Rey Mysterio, but that's just me.
Alberto Del Rio, another one he could have brought up.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because they can't talk about Del Rio because they made Del Rio sign some type of clause where he can't bash the company, and Punk basically told him where to stick that clause, which I thought was funny. But yeah, so I think that's why he didn't bring up Del Rio, but Punk is the hottest thing right now because they want to talk about CM Punk. Everyone wants to talk about CM Punk off a podcast from his friend Boom Boom Colt Cabana. So of course they brought it up. Now let's get past the Punk stuff and let's actually talk about something that I thought was just as big news, if not bigger. He basically said the locker room is a bunch of wimps, minimals,
millennials,
just there to get a paycheck. And he brought up one guy that really ticked me off, and we've been talking about it for weeks, Antonio Cesaro, or Cesaro now. He brought up Cesaro. The crowd loves Cesaro. And it's like they don't know what to do with him. And because I believe that Cesaro ticked off Triple H. That's, you know, that's how I base everything. If for some reason someone's getting buried, it's because they ticked off Triple H. And Triple H is going to be, he's right in Vince's ear the entire time and saying, oh, Cesaro did this. He actually is he's not really a vegetarian. He eats meat on Sundays. You know, something along those lines, you know.
because that's what
that he's,
what
I don't know if he is, but I'm just saying that's. You know, he would make something up, and I think that he was bashing him. That's why Cesaro keeps losing, which is crap, because Claudio on the indie scenes was the man, and then they bring him in to NXT, and then also to the main roster eventually, and Cesaro is the man, and then it's like, yeah, you're getting too high, well, we're going to knock you down.
He wasn't. I honestly, his U.S. title run was, I thought, really dumb. I thought that it was really bad.
Not on his part, though.
No, actually a little bit on his part. I mean, you know, he only has so much to work with, you know. You know, if you give an artist bad paint, then, you know, the artist may not, he can still paint. But I think that he wasn't as ready for the main stage. But when they knocked him back down and they started building him back up, I actually thought that they were doing a pretty good job with him. And then he was actually getting behind it. And, you know, like if you're at a party and other people around you are having a good time, you're going to probably have a good time too. And so I think that's what was happening. It was, you know, the sea raising all ships. But I think what has happened as of late is honestly probably Cesaro is a little disgruntled because he won the Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And, you know, after winning that, he hasn't done anything. They were feeding him to Swagger so Swagger could get wins. And that's not the what should have happened. Cesaro was over, and the crowd was loving him. And you could have helped push him up quite a bit. I'm not saying he would have been a main eventer, but he could be in Dean Ambrose's spot right now. Absolutely. I'm not saying the exact same, but something like that. And you could then have another person to help build the company around, where you would have other attractions. Because I think that's the biggest thing right now that's missing. You know, he mentioned John Cena, how John Cena is the only one that's grabbed a brass ring in the past few years. And it's not so much that, but, you know, you're helping to build these guys. Rollins, they're building up very well. They've done a pretty good job with Ambrose. You know, Wyatt, I'm in the minority. I'm not a huge Wyatt fan. You know, they've been building Wyatt up. Why not build Cesaro, you know, who's a young guy, and you can then help build the company around. Cesaro and Cena have great matches together. Guess what? If you help build up Cesaro more, then a Cesaro-Cena match is a main event of a pay-per-view. That's what you want to do. And unfortunately, I don't think that they're doing that. And so I actually really appreciate Stone Cold. I know he's talked very highly of Cesaro, so I really appreciate him bringing him up. And I think that helped set the tone for the show itself.
The one thing also, gosh, I just lost my train of thought. I'm almost wondering if the WWE wants everyone to think that there's no such thing as indie wrestling, because guys who are big on indie wrestling, it's almost they bring them in and they put them down and they bring them up just a little bit. But it's almost, I just want to point out the fact that, you know, Triple H brought in Sin Cara and Mystico. If I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he was stubborn, and Triple H, they should have figured that out within the first 2 weeks. He didn't want to learn English. Cesaro's done everything they've asked him to do, and then some. He should be over. Yeah. Hands down. One thing I don't like is that the fact that he brought up the fact that your champion is a special attraction. Oh my gosh. Does that mean that when Cena's a champion, he has a strap on him? Does that mean that he's a special attraction? So you're not going to see him every week now. So your ratings are going to plummet. And then when he puts out his new red and yellow shirt line, you know, right in time for the Christmas holiday, so all the kids get their new Cena gear. Do you think it's going to hurt? Oh, yes, it will. It's going to hurt the bottom line. Brock, you know, I don't think you get that many UFC people anymore. Maybe on a pay-per-view buy, but I believe with network buy, you're not going to get as big a number as you once could have.
Yeah, and, you know, something that I had said about Brock, you know, being there once a month, honestly, I'm okay with, you know, being there for the pay-per-views, have Heyman be the mouthpiece for the 4 weeks leading up to the pay-per-view. I am totally cool with missing two pay-per-views in a row. Now it's going to be three. I'm not okay with. I think that that's really dumb, in fact, because here's what happens. Who's the champion? What's the point in the champion? When Brock comes back, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, duh. We have a champion of the whole industry. And he's never there. Once a month, I'm okay with. Once every 4 months, I'm not.
Yeah, that's my issue I have with that. I mean, if they made it so the IC title was the next big one, and then you, the US title or vice versa, and then you had, you know, your tag champions and the Divas, whoever has that, I could see it, but there, yeah. So do you think Vince said that it was his call to end this Undertaker streak. Do you think it was also Vince's call not to have CM Punk end it?
Oh, yeah. They wanted to have somebody that was really credible and nothing.
And Brock Lesnar is?
Nothing against Punk, but I not in a million years would have believed that Punk would have beat Undertaker, whereas Brock Lesnar, if you told me that there was actually a chance that Brock would win, I would say, okay, well, I could believe Brock. Out of, you know, Triple H, I was believing because, you know, Triple H would want to be the one that would do it, you know, so that way he could always have that be his claim to fame. But Brock Lesnar, on the other hand, that was one where it's like, yeah, he's an intimidating guy. Yeah, he could probably do that.
I guess we could talk. I could pick apart Vince's interview, and I should have taken notes during it, but I didn't, but.
Well, the one thing I will say about it, I think that they should do this once a month, because with this one in particular, you set the tone, and nothing was off limits, literally. I mean, he talked about putting the territories out of business. He talked about CM Punk. He talked about TNA, even if it was briefly, you know, for a whole half a second. You know, he mentioned TNA. He talked about everything under the sun. And Vince is like, this is really great entertainment. Let's go another 15 minutes. I'm going to make this go another 15 minutes because I own the network, so I'm going to. And that's what he did. And that, like, as a viewer, as somebody who bought the network for this month, I said, oh, you know what? This is really cool. This is making me go, anything can happen here. I wonder what's going to happen next. So I stayed, and I stayed for it. And so kudos to WWE for putting this on. I really, really hope that they – imagine if they did this a month from now and you have Kevin Dunn on, or you have Triple H or Stephanie, you know? Imagine if you have any of those types of people on there that have seen it all and that they talk about anything, literally anything. That would be some really
good – just long as nothing is off limits, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think that would be good. The one thing that's going to be good, Bischoff is going to be debating Royal Rumble from a few years ago when he was with the WWE, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. with Bruce Pritchard, I think. They're actually going to be it's going to be at a Dave and Buster's, and RF Video is going to film it, which I'm actually looking forward to getting that DVD or Blu-ray, whatever they're going to have sent to me. Because that actually is interesting, and that's going to be off limits. So I bring that up and bring it up what you just said. Off limits, I believe people are more intrigued by it.
But, well, and like I said, him bringing up CM Punk less than a week after the big news happened with him, that's big news, in my opinion. So,
okay, if it wasn't on TMZ.com, do they talk about it?
Yep.
Oh, really?
I believe that.
I believe the only reason they talked about it is because it was on TMZ.com.
No,
I believe that if it was anywhere else, you know, Variety, whatever the stuff out in Hollywood is.
I highly disagree. I think that it was wrestling industry news.
All right. All right. Well, anyway, so it's been a great week for podcasts. I will say that. So great for us. Episode 246, you know, that we've done. This is actually the 260th episode that we've done as well. So I just find it cool. So Podcasts of Ring put out Chris Jericho, mentioned something about that. He does a show as well. Lots of great podcasts out there. So definitely check them all out. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.